TicketFM.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to segment two of the Adam Carriker Show. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you listen to segment one, you got 90 minutes worth of stuff in about 20 minutes. All right. Now, I did forget to mention that I'm also picking Ohio State because of Will Howard, the Pennsylvania boy who was rejected by his hometown team, the Penn State Nittany Lions. So he's uber motivated to go back and play well. Also, that Oregon game. The end of that's got to stick with him. So he's either going to go in there uber motivated and play really, really well and be the difference in the game, or he's going to press too much and be the difference in the game the other way. I'm betting on the positive side of those things, and that's one reason I'm taking Ohio State, again, with not a ton of confidence. But we do have an update on Ohio State's left tackle situation, because that's what Husker fans are dying to hear about, via Patrick Murphy, beat writer for Bucknuts 247. Oh, I couldn't get out without laughing. I'm sorry. Ryan Day said it's trending that Zen Michalski isn't going to play as the backup left tackle against Penn State. But Day said the Buckeyes haven't, I quote, a good plan, end quote, at left tackle. Well, that's much better than coming out and say our plan absolutely sucks. All right, so that should be uplifting for Buckeye fans. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the segment two of the Adam Carriker Show here on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue at 11th and Cornhusker, open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, try their burnt end sandwiches. They are delicious. The brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, and a full slab of ribs, a half-smoked chicken, and much more, plus delicious, incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue by Single Barrel, located at 11th and Cornhusker. All right, we do have a guest to bring on. Before we bring him on, we want to give stuff away, ladies and gentlemen. Bach, let them know how they can get free stuff.
So 402-464-5685. We still have a few tickets available for Husker Huddle at the Apothecary today. Jason Peter, Jay Foreman, Rashawn Jackson, Terrell Farley will all be there on stage. Doors open at 4. Show starts at 4:30. Last till about 5:30. So if you text in, just say, I want the tickets, I'll give you a few tickets.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got a special guest, a former Blackshirt, former teammate of mine. He was the first true freshman to start at Nebraska when he started as a true freshman. Since 1997, I believe he started 2000. I could be wrong. He can correct me on that. But this is a man who played multiple years as a Blackshirt, one of my former teammates. All right, this is a guy. Let me get this here and get this accurate. Honorable mention, all Big 12, the coaches, the AP in 2002. First team academic, all Big 12 as well. Mr. Philip Bland, how you doing, my friend? Philip, are you there?
I am. Hey. Man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I appreciate you joining me. So you're from Colorado, grew up in Boulder. Obviously, Nebraska had a big win over Colorado this year. But I want to go back a little bit before we get to present day and even project forward just a little bit. Coming out of high school, all right, you lived 1 mile from Colorado head coach Gary Barnett, yet he was the last coach to visit you and they were the last college to offer you. What was that like for you, and how did that affect your decision-making process when you were trying to figure out where you wanted to play college ball at?
Man, that's a good question. As you can imagine, especially living back here just outside of Boulder now, I get asked that quite a bit, man. God, there's a lot that goes into that. My dad played football for CU in the early 70s and had season tickets. Used to go to all the home games. We grew up not just CU fans, but there was a pretty serious distaste for Nebraska. And it was kind of funny, man. If you'd have asked me freshman year, sophomore year in high school, I'd be like, oh my goodness, like CU, there's no other school I'd want to go to other than that. And yeah, just the way the chips fell, and especially with Frank Solich and Ron Brown were the two that recruited me. I knew, even though the family history and the CU Nebraska rivalry, Nebraska was, they're incredible, man. And the way that I was recruited by Frank and Coach Brown specifically. Plus the fact that they were the first school to offer me a scholarship, which really meant a lot to me. it ended up being a pretty easy decision for me. I think they're ranked number two in the country at the time, just ran off three national championships in 4 years. I know it was much more difficult for my dad. And that's, looking back, I think I still have, a tender heart for him, knowing that he drove out from my true freshman year on to every single home game in Lincoln and never wore one thing that said Nebraska on it, which I actually really respect. But that just goes to show what it was like growing up in Boulder and playing for, you know, the famous, iconic CU coach, Bill McCartney's son, Tom, who's still the head coach at Fairview. It was an interesting time, man. But I certainly was proud of the decision that I made. I have zero regrets whatsoever on that. And what's interesting too is my dad came around. I wouldn't say that he's pulling for Nebraska maybe the way that he does for CU, but he does pull for them. And for me, it worked out the way that it was supposed to, man.
So, dare I say, you heard a lot of anti-Nebraska Cornhusker football rhetoric growing up, but you overcame it. You came over to the side of the good guys. An interesting tidbit, Philip and I chatted for the first time in years right before I came on air today, and we discovered that Tom McCartney, his high school football coach's brothers, his brother actually almost became my NFL agent when I was leaving Nebraska. So it's kind of a small world out there. But talk to me about getting the win over Colorado this year, what that specific, and I know Husker fans kind of at this point don't want to hear that, but for those, like someone like yourself, who's in Colorado, from Colorado, grew up a CU fan, okay, played here, what does getting that win for someone like yourself mean and getting that win over CU this year?
I'm happy you mentioned that, because as you know, it's been pretty tough sledding over the years, and especially as it relates to the way that some of the most of the recent games against CU have gone down, just heartbreak left and right. And, you know, it's not just me, too. I do want to point out there were, Corey Ross and Gary Pike, both from Colorado, were in my scholarship class back in 01. Ross Pilkington from Colorado, Josh Davis, and a whole bunch of others. And I was catching up with Dennis LeBlanc in the athletic department, who I hadn't spoken with in a while. And right after the CU game, and I told him, I was like, that is the biggest win since I've cared more about that game and that win than any game since I played. And especially the way we showed up in the first half, it was really special, man. And it was nice to be there with some of my CU fan buddies that, as you can imagine, been giving me all the noise over the last however many years it's been since we've won. But it was cool being there with my fiance Samantha. She's rocking my Rose Bowl jersey, and there were a lot of sad faces with the group that I was with watching, and that definitely was not me or my fiance. And had a couple other teammates and buddies there, but it was, I can only say that if that win meant more to me personally than any other game that I, since I was done playing.
A lot of sad faces on the faces of Colorado fans means a lot of smiles on the faces of Nebraska and Husker fans. Now, you mentioned to me also before we came on air that you played in that Rose Bowl versus Miami. You actually played in that game, I think you mentioned, on a broken ankle. And so you hurt your other ankle. Go ahead and clear it up when I'm done asking the question. Versus Southern Miss just a year or two later, and you weren't actually able to finish out your career at Nebraska after having started, been a black shirt for a couple of seasons. So what exactly happened there, and what was it like for you having to go through that?
There's a lot in that question as well. I ended up first time I broke my ankle is we were playing at Kansas, and it was kind of a normal play. Overran the ball carrier a little bit, and when I tackled him, my foot, which normally would slide in the grass or in the astrograph, it just didn't. So I had like my body plus the weight of the running back, you know, falling down. And I remember the doctor saying, like, God, it's strange that your tendons or your ligaments didn't rupture. And it actually just pulled bones, like the connecting bones off the back of my ankle. And but they're like, hey, you know, we still have some time. Our team obviously is undefeated at that point. Can't damage it anymore. So I can tell you that we exhausted, I would imagine, every possible treatment to get me ready. But I ended up had some custom ankle brace made for that game specifically for, you know, against that, what is like an NFL Hall of Fame team in that Miami team. But yeah, I played in that game on a broken ankle. I only played maybe 10 or 15 snaps, had surgery afterwards. And then, ended up on it again, kind of a nothing out of the ordinary play, just against Southern Miss, broke up a pass. And something with either the way that the tight end stepped on my foot or what, I knew it felt like, but could instantly tell there was a problem to my ankle. And I ended up having my second surgery, the same ankle, same scar actually, which is kind of wild. But flew to Seattle to have the surgery done by the Seahawks and Mariners orthopedic surgeon. And to say it was never the same. I mean, it was never the same after the first injury, and then after the second. It was destined that there were other plans for me other than playing football.
So basically about midway or early on in your junior year, unfortunately, it was kind of the end of everything. And, you know, I can relate to a certain degree with my knee and how things ended in the NFL for me. So what was that process like after that? Obviously, whole new staff comes in, new coach, you started as a true freshman. Colorado didn't, you know, thought of you last minute, yet you come here to a better program and team at the time, and you start as a true freshman. Yep. You know, you put your heart and soul into it. Then here comes a new staff with Callahan, a new DBs coach. You know, what was that whole process like as well for you?
You know, it surreal, I think, would be a good way to answer that. I can just tell you how it went down and when the decision. Not just about, God, do I try to rehab? It looked like I almost certainly would need a third ankle surgery. Do I want to go through that again? Can I even be of, you know, value to anyone on a football field? So I have those thoughts going through my mind. And then also have what was really just a sad situation with the way Frank was fired, especially the year, the year prior, had to let a lot of guys that he has known and coached with for a long time go, to bring in Bo Pelini and the rest of that staff on the defensive side. But the, going back to that moment. So first time meeting Coach Callahan, obviously have all the emotions and sadness of what happened with Frank, and then with Bo getting overlooked and not chosen for that job. And I think Coach Callahan was calling in all the returning starters and seniors. And I step into his office, and he's like, hey, you know, Bill, sit down. He's like, how's the ankle? I was like, man, you know, honestly, not very good. And he's like, well, he's like, you know, been watching some film, and he goes, you know, I'm sitting across the table from one of the top safeties in the country, which I thought was an interesting thing to say. I was like, well, have you watched the film of me like limping into your office? But I thought that was funny. But he's like, you know, have you ever thought about, or would you consider an experimental ankle replacement? And I remember that floored me. I was like, whoa. I mean, this is over 20 years ago. Right. Mm-hmm. And so it was definitely at that point where I was like, no, that's definitely not the path that I'm going. And, Yeah, I remember leaving his office and going right to Coach Almation. Our DBs were about to meet. Again, I don't really know him either. I was like, hey, Coach, you know, do you mind if I say something? Or I go, I'd like to address the secondary and let him know, for me personally, my decision. And the strange part about that, he's like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's great. You can do that. And so we go into the, you know, meeting, and right away, I don't know if he forgot or just was planning on a different time or what, but I ended up having to kind of raise my hand and stand up and let many of these guys who I've been with for, you know, 3 years, let them know that, yeah, that I'm not able to play, and, you know, wish them the best. And that was a really tough moment, man. I mean, all the way around. And, yeah, just the reality of injuries being something that obviously you can't prepare for. You know, it's part of the game. It's just, you don't, as a kid or high school, especially in college, you know, you just always hope that you could go out on your own terms and not because your body didn't cooperate. So yeah, it was wild going from a really regimented, I spent a lot of time in the training room rehabbing ankle surgeries and a shoulder reconstruction my sophomore year, to then just being like a student. It was wild, man. And something that I miss. Yeah. I know when we were catching up, but missing the camaraderie. And even if I was in a boot, like I feel like I spent half my career in a boot, but just being there with the guys and being part of that, going from that just being your everyday life to now all of a sudden you go to class and, you know, graduate and move on with your life was a pretty wild experience, man.
Yeah, it can definitely be challenging. It was actually good to catch up with you today before air. Now we're on air. It's a good thing for people, I think, to hear from people like you. Like, even Jake was like, man, you know, what happened Phillip's last, you know, 2 years there? And I didn't know until I'd asked you. I kind of asked you. So I appreciate you being willing to open up, share your story. Sometimes that can be easier. Sometimes that can be harder. But I got one last question for you, and I appreciate your time. Do you have any, and you can go any direction you want with this. It can be funny. You can be serious, whatever. Do you have any behind-the-scenes stories you'd like to share with the fine folks at home from your time here in Lincoln?
Oh, man. Yeah, I have a few. So I would be remiss to not bring up the one time. You'll have to correct me on what the year, if that was your redshirt year or in 03. But I obviously heard about you coming in. Hey, we have this awesome D-end or D-line recruit. Oh, and he also was like a higher recruited or more sought after quarterback in high school. And I was like, okay, you know, like that's interesting. Then I remember seeing you and I was like, dude, this guy looks like he can bench 1,000 pounds and is just this monster of a dude. And I'm like, so it's that guy? I'm like, that's wild. And I can't remember if there was a quarterback competition or what it was. I don't know how a football ended up in your hands, but it was either a challenge or a dare. Someone was like, hey, Carricker can throw it like 70 yards. And I remember not just me, but everyone being like, oh, okay, like, let's see this. And sure enough, you're in a boot. You don't even like crow hop, no, like nothing, and just throw this tight spiral at least 70 yards. I like to tell it like more like 75 or 80. And I remember that just being like completely blown away that I just saw what I saw. So yeah, that's one of those memories, especially when I think of you, that is the first that comes to mind. And then, you know, a few others, like I played with just some insane athletes. Mm-hmm. And Keo Craver, who he was gone before you got there, but he was a phenomenal corner. I remember one day I just look over, we're just in helmets and you know, no pads on, and I look over and there's some dude doing back handspring over and over and over and over again, and then a full complete like layout backflip, like you'd see from like an Olympic gymnast or something. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, it was Keo. I remember looking at that. I'm like, dude, that's a different kind of level of athleticism. Yeah, I could go on with more stories like that, but I would say those are two definitely of the most that stick out.
Oh man, I appreciate your time. Yeah, we just had Keo on either a week or two. He had some great insights on the secondary. Yeah. I appreciate you Love coming that, on. For the story about me throwing, Joe Daly was talking trash. That's how that started. he did not end up on top of that competition.
And he did not, man.
Just because it's made me mad. I could never reach 85 yards. It was 84. That's how I know it was specifically 84, because I could never reach 85. Anyways, I appreciate you taking the time to join me. And, dude, let's keep in contact.
I'm looking forward to it, man. Thanks again for having me on.
All right. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.